Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Ah, yes, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. I'm Pastor Steve, and I'm back. I had a little heart problem, and Yahweh has fixed me right up. Praise Yahweh. And I have had some time off, so we're going to resume. We're going to resume word for word with chapter 9 of the first book of Chronicles. And we're coming down the end. When I finish all of Chronicles, it's going to be the end of the Old Testament, and then I will go into the apocryphal books. So I'm feeling much better. Thank you for all the prayers and well wishes. And it's really heartening, I'll tell you. Let's get right into the meat of the scriptures here. This is chapter 9 of the first book of Chronicles. So all Israel were reckoned by genealogies. In other words, they had to prove their parentage. And behold, there were written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah, who were carried into exile to Babel for their unfaithfulness. Okay. Verse 2 and verse 3, you can reference Ezra chapter 2, verse 27, and Nehemiah, or Nehemiah in Hebrew, chapter 7, verse 73. Now, the first inhabitants that repossessed the cities of Israel, okay, were the Israelites. Or first inhabitants in their possessions in their cities were the Israelites. Okay, they repossessed the cities of Israel. The priests, Lewiim and Nethinim, those are the temple servants. Lewiim are the Levites. And in Jerusalem dwelt of the children of Yehuda, and of the children of Benjamin, and of the children of Ephraim and Manasseh. Verse 4. This is going to give a lot of names, so bear with me. It gets a little just onerous after a lot of the names. Uttai, the son of Amihud, the son of Omri, the son of Imri, the son of Bani, of the children of Peretz, the son of Yehuda. Pardon me, I coughed still a little bit, but not as much as before. And of the Shiloni, Asaiah, the firstborn, and his sons. And of the sons of Zerah, Yahuel and their brethren, 690. And of the sons of Binyamin, Salu, the son of Meshulam, the son of Hodawiah. Hodawiah, yeah. Or Hodawah. Dawiah, yeah, that's right. The son of Hasanua. And Yebaniah, the son of Yerocham, and Elah, the son of Uzi, the son of Mikri, and Meshulam, the son of Shephatiah, the son of Reuel, the son of Yibniah, and their kinsmen, according to their genealogy. Genealogy was very, very, very important. So there were no imposters that snuck in. 956. All these men were chief of the fathers and the household of their fathers. And of the priests, this would be the Levites, Yedaiah and Yehoyarib and Yakin. And verse 11, and Azariah, the son of Kilkiah, the son of Meshulam, the son of Zadok, the son of Mariot, the son of Ahitub, the officer of the house of Elohim. In other words, he oversaw the temple. Verse 12. And Adaiah, the son of Yerocham, the son of Pashkur, Malkiah, and Maasai, son of Adiel, the son of Yachzerach, the son of Meshulam, the son of Meshilamit, the son of Emer. You notice how they go way back. They are not fooling around. They are serious about their genealogy. They didn't have all those that crept in later on, like the Edomites that claimed to be priests in Yeshua's time. Verse 13. And their brethren, heads of the house of their ancestors, 1,760 mighty men of valor for the work of the service of the house of Elohim. Because they were also guards, okay? They were mighty men, warriors. They were not, everybody's love and all of that. Not that kind of priest. They would, if you didn't belong there and you were unclean and you were of a racial alien bent, they would kill you. Verse 14. And of the Levium, Shemaiah, the son of Hashub, the son of Azrikam, the son of Kashabiah, of the sons of Merari. Okay. Verse 15. And Bachbachar, Keresh, and Galal, and Matanya, the son of Micah, the son of Zikri, the son of Asaph. Okay. Verse 16, and Obadiah, the son of Shemaiah, the son of Galal, the son of Yedutun, and Berechiah, the son of Asa, the son of Elkanah, that dwelt in the villages of the Netophathi. I'm giving you the Hebrew names of all these. If you're reading along in your King James, that's fine, but you'll read the names differently in the Hebrew. They have butchered the names mostly in the King James. And the gatekeepers were Shalom, and Akub, and Talmon, and Achiman, and their kinsmen. Shalom was the chief. Now, it can read, and their brethren, it can read that, but it's kinsmen, who hitherto waited in the king's gate toward the sunrise, in other words, on the eastern side. They were the gatekeepers in the companies of the children of Levi, okay? And Shalom, the son of Korah, the son of Ebiasaph, the son of Korach, and his kinsmen of the house of his father, the Korkim, it says Korahites in King James, but it's Korkim, were over the work of the service, keepers of the doorway of the tent, that's the tent of meeting, and their fathers, being over the camp of Yahweh, were keepers of the entry. All right. Verse 20. And Pinchas, the son of Eleazar, was the officer over them before, and Yahweh was with him. You remember Pinchas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, that ran the javelin through the Israelite who was having sex with a female racial alien. Oh boy, killed them both. Right through the back and through the belly. A beast with two backs. He pinned them. Verse 21. And Zechariah the son of Meshelemiah was gatekeeper of the entrance of the tent of meeting. Not tabernacle of the congregation, the tent of meeting. Verse 22. All these which were selected to be gatekeepers in the doorway were 212. These were reckoned by their genealogy in their villages, whom Dawid and Shemuel the seer did establish in their office of trust. Okay. Verse 23. So they and their children had oversight of the gates of the house of Yahweh, namely the house of the tent, by wards. Right. In verse 24, in four quarters were the gatekeepers toward the sunrise seaward, north and south. That's the four corners. Sunrise is the east, seaward was the west, toward the Mediterranean Sea, north and south. Verse 25, and their kinsmen in their villages were to come after 7 days from time to time with them. I'm amazed that I can put all this out without coughing. All my lung problems have cleared up as well. And here it is. This is for the 6th of November, 2017, and the first part of last month is when I had this happen to me, so I'm home. This is amazing. Yahweh is so powerful and so blessing and so loving. Verse 26, for these Levium, the four chief gatekeepers were in their office of trust, and were over the chambers and over the treasuries of the house of Elohim, because they had a big treasury up there. Verse 27, and they lodged round about the house of Elohim, because the charge was upon them, that's their commandment, and the instrument of it every morning pertained to them. Now that in the instrument of it, opening instrument actually, was the key. There was a key to the treasury, and they were in charge of that. Verse 28, and certain of them that had the charge of these service vessels, that's all the stuff that went on the tables and stuff that were holy, that they should bring them in by number and out by number. They had to be brought in a certain order. Verse 29, some of them were also appointed to oversee the vessels and oversee all the instruments of the sanctuary. That's everything that went on, you know, cutting instruments and tongs and spoons and all that. And oversee the fine flour and the wine and the oil and the frankincense and the spices. All that was used in the offerings. Verse 30, and some of the sons of the priest mixed the ointment of the spices. Special. No one else was allowed to have it. And Matithiah, one of the Leviim, who was the firstborn of Shalom, the Korki, that's Korahite, had the office of trust over the things that were made in the flat pans where they would bake bread, etc., etc., and all the food that went to the temple. Verse 32, and of their kinsmen, of the sons of the Kohathi, that's the Kohathites, were over the rows of showbread to prepare it every Shabbat. They're detailing all the people that were in the temple doing the service in these books. And these are the singers, chiefs of the clans of Leviim, who in the chambers were free for work day and night. In other words, were free. That work was upon them. Okay. Free from use, actually. That work was upon them. Verse 34, these chiefs of the clan of the Lewi, chiefs by their lines of descent, they were chiefs, these dwelt at Yerushalayim. Now here, going back to some of the other stuff, this is Shaul's family record. Verse 35. And in Gibeon dwelt the father of Gibeon, Yehiel, the name of his wife was Ma'aka. The verse order there, the word order is wrong in the King James. So I corrected it. Verse 36, and his firstborn son, Abdon, then Zur, and Kish, and Baal, that's not the god, that's Baal, that's what he's named, that means possessor, and Ner and Nadab. Verse 37, and Gedor, and Achio and Zechariah and Mikloth, verse 38, and Mikloth begot Shimeam, and they also dwelt with their kinsmen at Jerusalem opposite their kinsmen. Verse 39. See, we're in the genealogy. And Ner begot Kish, and Kish begot Shaul, and Shaul begot Yaonathan, and Malkishua, and Abinadab, and Eshbaal. Verse 40. And the sons of Yonathan, or the son of Yonathan, was Merib Baal, and Mary Baal, or Merib or Mary Baal. They have two different spellings here. One is 4807, that is Merib Baal, and 4810, and that is Merib Baal. Mary Baal. Okay. Two different spelling. It's Meryb for the first one and Meriy for the second. And Mary Baal begot Micah, M-I-Y-C-H-A. Verse 41. And the sons of Micah were Pithon and Melech and Tachriah and Akkaz is in parentheses. They didn't have him in that verse, so they put it in parentheses to tie the next verse together. You need to see 8:35, okay? Chapter 8, verse 35. They had skipped a few things in here, and I'm having to go with the text. That's the way it is. Verse 42. And Akkaz begot Yara. And Yara begot Alamet and Azmavet and Zimri. And Zimri begot Motzah. Verse 43. And Motzah begot Binah and Raphaiah his son, Eliasa his son, Atzel his son. Verse 44. And Atzel had six sons whose names are these: Azrikam, Bokeru, Ishmael, Sheariah, Obadiah, and Hanan. These were the sons of Atzel. All right, now we're moving on into chapter 10. Chapter 9 is done. And this is chapter 10. You can reference 1 Samuel 31. Okay? It pretty much equals 1 Samuel 31. But this is Dibrei Hayamim, words of the days. Verse 10. Now the Philistine fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistine and fell down slain in Mount Gilboa. And the Philistine stayed after Shaul and after his sons. And the Philistine slew Jonathan and Abinadab and Malchishua, the sons of Shaul. Verse 3, and the battle went, or was heavy, rather, against Shaul, and the bows of the archers found him, and he writhed in pain from the archers. In other words, they shot at him and they hit him. Verse 4 and 5, you can reference 1 Samuel 31, verses 4 and 5. Then said Shaul to his armor bearer, draw your sword and thrust me through with it, lest these, having foreskins, come and abuse me. But his armor bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. So Shaul took a sword and fell upon it. In other words, he put a sword underneath him. He couldn't take the pain for all the arrows. And he just dropped himself down on the sword and killed himself. Verse 5. And when his armor bearer saw that Shaul was dead, he fell likewise on his sword and died. So he died with his master. What can you say? Verse 6, so Shaul died and his three sons and all his house died together. Verse 7, when all the men of Israel that were in the valley saw that they fled and that Shaul and his sons were dead, then they forsook their cities and fled. And the Philistine came and dwelled in them. So the Philistine took their cities. Verse 8. And it came to pass on the morrow, when the Philistine came to strip the slain, that they found Shaul and his sons fallen in Mount Gilboa. Verse 9. And when they had stripped him, they took his head, they cut off his head, and his armor, and sent it into the land of the Philistines round about to bear news unto their idols and to the people. So they didn't have news service like we did. They had to have town criers, and look, they had all these people going around. Look, look, the armor of Shaul and his head. And that was how they spread the news back there. They had criers. Verse 10. And they put his armor in the house of their gods and fastened his skull in the house of Dagon. Now, Dagon was a fish god. And here, verses 11 and 12, you can reference 1 Samuel 31, 11 through 13. Verse 11, and when all Jabesh Gilead heard all that the Philistine had done to Shaul, they arose. Verse 12, they arose, all the valiant men, and took away the body of Shaul and the bodies of his sons, and brought them to Jabesh, and buried their bones under the terebinth, it's a great big shade tree, in Jabesh, and fasted 7 days. Now here's verse 13, and you can reference part A of 1 Samuel 13, 8 through 14, and 15, 1 through 24. And part B of this verse, Leviticus 19, 31, 26, and 1 Samuel 27, 7 and 8. All right, 13, this is why Shaul died. So Shaul died for his transgression, which he committed against Yahweh, even against the word of Yahweh, which he kept not, and also for inquiring of a necromancer, to inquire. They went to and didn't keep Yahweh's word. Verse 14, and inquired not of Yahweh, therefore he slew him, and turned around the kingdom unto Dawid, the son of Yishai. That's Jesse. So, that's the death of Saul. That's sort of a short story in here of why he died. Now we're going to get, see, the Chronicles is not a long, detailed story like a lot of the other things. It's sort of a synopsis of what went on. So this is chapter 11. Dawid becomes king over all Israel. Okay. Verse 11. Then all Israel gathered themselves to Dawid unto Chebronah, that's Hebron, saying, behold, we are your bone and your flesh. Verse 2. And moreover, in times past, even when Shaul was king, you led out and brought in Israel. And Yahweh, your Elohim, said unto thee, you shall shepherd my people Israel, and you shall be ruler over my people Israel. Verse 3. Therefore came all the elders of Israel to the king to Hebron, and Dawid made a covenant with them in Hebron before Yahweh. And they anointed Dawid king over Israel according to the word of Yahweh by the hand of Shemuel, the prophet that said this one will be king. So that took care of that. Verse 4 of chapter 11. You can reference Joshua 15, verse 63, and Judges, chapter 1, verse 21. And Dawid and all Israel went to Jerusalem, which is Yebus, that's the original name of it, where the Yebusi were the inhabitants of the land. They were part of the Canaanites. Verse 5, and the inhabitants of Yebus said to David, you shall not come here. Oh, yeah. Nevertheless, Dawid captured the stronghold of Zion, which is the city of Dawid. Okay. Now, Dawid ruled in Hebron over Yehuda alone for 7.5 years. From about 1010 BC to 1003. You can reference 2 Samuel 2 and 4. Dawid's rule over all Israel, not just Yehuda and Benjamin. And that you can reference that at 2 Samuel 5, 1 through 10. Verse 6. And Dawid said, whosoever smites the Yebusi first shall be chief officer. Okay. So Joab, the son of Zeruiah, went up first and became chief. All right. Raised his hand first or whatever. And Dawid dwelt in the stronghold. Therefore, they called it the city of Dawid. verse 8, and he rebuilt the city round about, even from Milo round about, and Joab restored the rest of the city. Verse 9. So Dawid waxed greater and greater. In other words, he walked greater and greater, for Yahweh of hosts was with him. Well, just like Yahweh has been with me, no one expected me to recover from this big heart attack that I had during the Feast of Tabernacles. Not that fast. And it is, it's amazing. And it's amazing the brotherhood that I have experienced from people helping me. Now here we are in chapter 11, verses 10 through 47. You can reference 2 Samuel 23, verses 8 through 39. Now these are Dawid's mighty men. Verse 10. These also are the chiefs of the mighty men who Dawid had, who strengthened themselves with him in his kingdom, with all of Israel, to make him reign as king according to the word of Yahweh concerning Israel. Verse 11. And this is the number of the mighty men whom Dawid had. Now, this is going to get pretty technical with just a lot of names. Yashobam, son of Achachmoni, it's a Achmonite, the chief of the officers. He aroused his spear against 300 slain at one time. In other words, he just killed a whole bunch of people. They were mighty men. Looked like a kung fu movie, I bet. Whoa! Verse 12. Let me get a little drink of this nice pure water here. Never thought I'd like water all that much. But boy, is it really hits it. Verse 12, and after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Akochi, who was one of the three mighty men. Verse 13, he was with Dawid at Pasdamim, and there the Pelishtim were gathered together to battle, where a parcel of ground full of barley was. And the people fled from before the Pelishtim. Verse 14, and they took a stand in the midst of that parcel and delivered it and slew the Pelishtim, and Yahweh saved them by a great deliverance. Saved all those guys. Well, he saved me too. So I'll testify to that. Verse 15 through 19, reference 4th Maccabees, chapter 3, verses 6 through 18. Now, three of the 30 chiefs went down to the rock to Dawid into the cave of Adullam, and the army of the Pelishtim encamped in the valley of Rephaim. Verse 16, and Dawid was then in the stronghold, and the Pelishtim's garrison was then at Beit Lehem. That means house of bread. That would be called Bethlehem. Verse 17, and Dawid craved and said, oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Beit Lehem that is at the gate. Like I just had a nice, big, cool drink of... I'll have another, by golly. I'm going a little slow because these names are pretty heavy. Verse 18. And the three broke through the camp of the Philistine and drew water out of the well of Beit Lahem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. But David would not drink of it, but poured it out to Yahweh. And he said, far be it from my Elohim that I should do this thing. Shall I drink the blood of these men's lives? For with their lives they brought it. He honored them by pouring it out. Therefore he would not drink of it. These things did his three mightiest. That was such a tremendous feat that they accomplished, that he honored them. Verse 50. And Abishai, the brother of Joab, he was the head of the three. For arousing his spirit against 300, he slew them and had a name among the three. He was famous. Okay? I mean, he slew 300 of the enemy, and that's no little thing. So he was a big hero, okay? And had a big name. Verse 21, of the three, he was more honorable than the two. In other words, he was the best of the three. That's why he was so famous. For he was their commander. Howbeit, he attained not to the three. Verse 22. Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done many acts. Now you can reference 2 Samuel 23:20. He slew two sons of Ariel of Moab. That means Lion of God. That's who Ariel of Moab was, Lion of God. Also, he went down and slew a lion in the midst of a pit on a snowy day. So he went down and killed a lion. So this guy was bad to the bone, all right? And he slew a man of Mitzri, a man of stature, 5 cubits high. He was 7'6". And in the Mitzri's hand was a spear like a weaver's beam, great big heavy spear. And he went down to him with a staff, just a staff, and took it by force, the spear, from the Mitzri's hand and slew him with his own spear. In other words, he did the kung fu routine with the fighting staff and just whipped up on that Egyptian. And took his spear away from him and killed him with his own spear. They ought to make a movie about some of these guys instead of the fake stuff that they make. Verse 24, these things did Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and had the name among the three mighty men. He was a famous one. Verse 25, behold, he was honorable among the 30, but attained not to the first three. And David set him over his bodyguard. Verse 26. Also the mighty men of valor were Asahel, the brother of Joab, Elchanan, the son of Dodo of Beit Lahem. Verse 27. Shamoth, the Harori, Kelets the Peloni, verse 28, Erah the son of Ichesh the Tekoi, Abiezer the Anoti, Antoti. Verse 29. Sibekai the Kushathi, Eli, I-L-A-Y, Eli, the Achothi. Maharai, the Netophathi, Keled, the son of Baana, the Netophathi, Ethai, the son of Rebai of Gibeah, that pertained to the children of Binyamin, Benaiah, the Piratoni. Verse 32, Kurai of Gaash, Abiel, the Arbathi, actually, it's of the brooks of Gaash, of Nachali Gaash, for Kurai. Verse 33, Asmawet, the Bakarumi, Eliakhava, the Shalaboni. Verse 34, the sons of Hashem, the Gizoni. Jonathan, the son of Shage, the Harari. Verse 35, Achiam, the son of Sakar, the Harari. Eliphal, the son of Ur, verse 36, Hefer, the Mecherati, Akia, the Peloni, verse 37, Ketzro, the Carmeli, Naarai, the son of Ezbai. Right, verse 38, Yoel, the brother of Natan, Mibchar, the son of Hagri. Now, there are three different men named Hagri in First Chronicles. So, there's no way to keep them from being confused. I'm just telling you, there are three people named that here. Verse 39, Tselek, the Ammoni, that he wasn't an Ammonite, he had lived in the land of Ammon. Nacharai, the Barothi, the armor bearer of Joab, the son of Seruiah. Verse 40, Erah, the Yithri, Gareb, the Yithri, Uriah, the Chitti, Zabad, the son of Achlai, verse 42. Adina, the son of Shiza, the Reubeni, he was a Reubenite, a chief of the Reubeni, and 30 with him. Verse 43. Hanan, the son of Ma'aka, and Yoshaphat, the Mithni, verse 44. Uziah, the Ashtarati, Shama, and Ye'iel, the sons of Chotham, the Aurori. Verse 45. Yedidiel, the son of Shimri, and Yocha, his brother, the Tetzi, verse 46, Eliel, the Machawim, and Yerubai, and Yoshawiah, the sons of Elnaam, and Ithma, the Moabite, living in the captured land of the Moabites. Verse 47, Eliel and Obed and Yaasiel, the Mesobahi. Okay, that ends chapter 11. We've got less than 10 minutes here. I want to expound on this a little bit, and then we have a new schedule at EFR, and I need to leave 3 minutes in my recordings. So I'm going to go at a little slower pace, perhaps, during Chronicles, because it's more controllable that way. All of these were renowned warriors back in the day. They have written down all these people. They're all long forgotten. But they had a great part in the formation of David's kingdom after Shaul. They will play a lot of parts later on. Some of them will rebel against Dawud and turn traitor. All kinds of interaction, which I have read before, but which are duplicated in these books of Chronicles. It's more of a fast track of who's who, okay? They don't go into the great detail that they have done in other books with these histories. They just don't do it. They figured, I guess, that the other books had done quite a bit. Now, there will be information in Chronicles that is not in some of the other books. So bear with me. Some of the names have been changed, spellings. This is history that we are reading right here. That's what Chronicles is. And we're going to finish up. I'm going to run 1st and 2nd Chronicles together because they were originally one book. A little different timeline. As I said, they are not as detailed as far as actions, but they have all these names in here, names which will be important. So pay attention as we go through. I know it gets a little boring, but you need to know who's who as far as the actions of Israel. They have a lot of stuff that went on, and these people are important, and that is why they are in the scripture. That's why they're listed. So I'm not going to take too much more time today. This will air on Monday, and then I'll have time tomorrow to do more recordings for the rest of the week. I'm going to do Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and then a wake-up call for Thursday evening. But Tuesday and Thursday, we will resume, I hope, unbrokenly with the earlier recordings that I did of Word for Word, because there were a lot of new listeners that have been following that. So I will say, may Yahweh bless and keep you. Thank you for your prayers and well wishes. And I am really, really grateful. And above all, praise Yahweh, Lord of hosts, Holy One of Israel, and Yahshua, risen Savior. So here goes the outro music, and I'll catch you again soon.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.